All right, let's take our book of Joel. We're almost finished with it. I have a couple more verses. Joel chapter 3 is where we are tonight. And we stopped last Thursday at verse number 17. And so let's go to that verse. And let's just read 17, 18 to the end of the chapter. You have it? You ready? Joel chapter 3, 17 to the end, beginning at verse 17. So shall ye know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down like new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Why, this will be apparently at the time of the millennial reign of Christ. What are they going to know in verse 17? We mentioned that last Thursday. What are they going to know, the Israelites and the Jews?
That Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I am the Lord, your God. And they'll accept him as their Messiah. And your God dwelling in Zion. Where is Zion?
Jerusalem.
My holy mountain. What mountain would that be?
Zion.
Mount Zion. Probably Mount Zion. Holy mountain right there in Jerusalem, probably. And shall Jerusalem be holy? Is it holy now?
No.
It's just filled with unbelievers and with Muslims and Arabs and the battles and the fighting and anything but holy. There are some Christians there, but not too many. So it's going to be in the millennial reign of Christ. What's going to happen at the millennium? What's going to happen to the Jews and all over the world?
They're going to come to Israel. Bring them back to Jerusalem.
Back to Jerusalem? In unbelief?
No, in belief.
All right. How are they going to get saved, these Jews? Witnessed to by the Jews, the 144,000, 12,000 from every one of the 12 tribes. And so there'd be a great revival. So they come back, they know the Lord and accept him. And so it'll be a blessing. And so then in verse 18, the mountains, the drop of new wine, hills will flow with milk. Now, what is going to happen as far as the climactic differences in the millennial reign? Any changes?
Sin will be lifted.
Sin will be lifted.
Curse on the earth.
Curse on the earth? Will there be any changes in the earth?
Why Isaiah?
Yeah, the changes on the earth during the millennium?
Wild animals will be together with tame animals.
All right, wild animals will be tame animals?
Isaiah 11.
No more curse. Of course, in eternity, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years.
Sin will not be as great.
Not be as great, but sin will still be, it'll be the prevailing.
David died, 100 years old?
That's right, Abel died being 100 years old. So the different ages, see, in other words, the son, what was the age of the oldest man in the Old Testament? 969. What was his name?
Methuselah.
And so, just as the climatic days in that time, so the millennial reign is going to be that same thing, because as it says in the book of Isaiah, a child will die being 100 years old. Well, if that's like our 10, you multiply that, it would be 100, maybe 1,000 years, maybe 969, they'll still be able, longevity will prevail. And the mountains will be, a lot of them will be made peaceful and slow and like a plain. So the earth will be changed. In other words, a lot of conditions will be changed at the millennial time. And of course, Satan will not have any more power. He'll be bound, won't he?
No, the snake.
Oh, the snake, that's right.
The child put his hand in.
The hole of the aspen, and the cobra won't hurt him. That's right. The cobra, the real venomous snakes, and the lion and the ox shall lie down together. Instead of one inside the other, lie down together, side by side. And so that's going to be a change. So all these things, hills will flow with milk, the rivers shall flow with waters, fountains shall go forth, and shall water the valley. So there's going to be a great valley, a great water difference, you remember, too. That's talked about in the book of Zechariah. What's going to happen to the fresh water versus salt water? What's in the Mediterranean, salt or fresh?
Salt
water. What's in the salt sea, salt or fresh?
Salt.
What's going to happen in the millennial reign of Christ when he comes back? What's going to take place, Anna?
How come it says the end and not
All right? From the Mount the Mount of Olives, which is the east of Jerusalem, is going to split in two, north and south, so there'll be a valley east and west. And there's going to be waters flowing from Jerusalem, from the temple itself, fresh waters, and will cover that whole land. That's why it says the desert out here shall blossom as the rose. There's going to be climatic differences, complete changes, and the man won't do it. It's going to be the Lord that's going to do this miracle. So I think that's part of the waters that are flowing and the rivers. And then what's going to happen in verse 19 about Egypt?
Desolate.
They'll be desolate. They'll be down here desolate. And also Eden. What's going to happen? Eden right here to the south of Jerusalem. Well, it'll be a wilderness. So there's going to be some curses still. And the violence against...
I think there's a reason why Edom is going to be a desolate.
Well, what is the reason, Dan?
The violence against the children of Judah.
All right. They've done violent things against the children of Judah, and God's going to judge them. There'll be a judge. Yes, Vaughn?
I have a question. Why is Nigeria not salt water and then being salt water?
All right. Why is Lake Erie? Anna, you have an answer to that? Geologically?
By river, and the river flows away from the lake.
All right. Can I answer that,
Grandma?
Well,
I guess so. It's
fresh
water because it has nothing to do with the ocean.
Yes, the ocean is salt.
The ocean salt?
Well, it's just the way God made them. That's all I can say. Anna, you have another geological answer to that?
Because the sediment, the river flows along, it erodes for everyone.
All the stuff
into all the sediment gets in the ocean, and when the water evaporates, it doesn't get
anywhere.
And like the Dead Sea, there's no outlet.
All right. I think the guy told us when we were there in the 1980s that the salt sea is, I think, 6 or 7 times saltier than any of the oceans. Strong salt. That's why it's called the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. All right. Because they've done evil and violence against children of Judah, they will be judged, especially Edom. And then Judah, what's going to happen to Judah in verse 20? Well, forever. So there's going to be partakers of eternity, and if they're saved and they're born again in the millennial reign, from the millennial reign, if they're saved, what's going to happen to the people who are saved during the millennium or any time? They're saved, what happens to them? What happens to people who are saved, whether during the millennium or during the tribulation, any of them that are saved, what happens to them? Have eternal life and dwell forever. Apparently during the millennial reign of Christ, the church will be in the heavenly Jerusalem, probably the city up there, and then the Israel will be his people on this earth, the holy city. Many have felt that. And so, Yvonne? Yes, that's right. There's going to be a millennial temple. Yes, that points back to Calvary, just like the sacrifice pointed toward Calvary. This is going to go back. Anna? Always by grace through faith. Never change. One looks forward to the cross, one looks backward to the cross.
So, they will bring the blood sacrifices back?
Yes, according to the book of Ezekiel, they have the blood sacrifice and their offerings in the temple.
Dr. Feinberg told us that God has allowed the Gentiles to observe the union for 1,000 or 2,000 years, and during a millennium, he allows the Jews to have the communion.
I see. That's interesting.
Dr.
Feinberg, yes. Teacher of Dallas for many years. So then you'll dwell forever and Jerusalem for generations and generations. The head of the nations during the millennium is what? What city? Chicago? New York? Philadelphia? San Francisco? Jerusalem is going to be the headquarters, the whole earth. See, that's going to be the temple. The Lord Jesus will be reigning and ruling. And who's going to reign with him?
King David.
King David will be a co-regent. Who else is going to reign with him? The believers, the saved people, for how long, Hannah?
144,000.
They're going to be reigning, they'll be saved people. How long are you going to reign with him?
1,000 years.
That's right, they lived and reigned with him according to Revelation chapter 20. So,
worn out.
Well, no, not with new bodies. You don't get worn out.
Resurrected body.
Never get worn out.
You don't have to sleep, no doctor.
No, nothing. You don't have to eat, you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to go to dentist.
That's right, go to dentist.
Amen.
Don't have to worry about it. No doctors.
Bills.
No bills. Lord, take care of it.
No bills, but the people on earth are going to have bills.
During a millennial reign, yes, but during an eternity we'll not see. But those that are living and reigning with Christ, new bodies, will not wear out, ever will be excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, during the millennial reign of Christ, well, some people feel that we will reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. During the daytime, the hours, different things. But then there's a holy city that's above Jerusalem. It's got the dimensions in the scriptures. And so the believers, many people, at night or whenever they're finished with their work out, back to the heavenly Jerusalem. Then they'll come down and whirl and see here and then go back. And so that's what some feel, that that's the way it should be. We don't know specifically, but it sounds like it's a good idea that we will. We're heavenly people, those that are saved and born again in this in the church age are the heavenly people. Israel's the earthly people that God has. And so this is what he said. Yes, Bob? Well, probably after the millennium it's finished, the new heaven and new earth. And so but there will be changes on this earth during the millennial, as we said. The waters will go forth, the desert shall blossom as the rose, and there'll be all different kinds of things. Will happen.
In an agriculture explosion.
Agriculture
explosion. Talk about turning the swords and the rockets and all that into plowshares.
The plowshares.
Because the curse will be lifted.
Curse will be lifted. That's right. Anna?
We want to know all the details that God does, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters? That's absolutely right. And then you see also, it says in some of the places that the mountains shall be flattened. See, there's certain mountains. See all these mountains. How did those mountains get there in the first place? Yes, Tammy? Yes, it does. That's an idea. That's right. And I think that's what it's talking about. In other words, there's going to be a geological difference during the millennial reign of Christ.
After the flood.
That's where the mountains go. That's right. See, in other words, this is a part of the catastrophe in the flood. All these high places, all these different things. So God's going to take care of it and revert that back. Yes, Cass, and then
to Brother Crow. What happens to the people that are on the earth and say they get saved and die? Do they go up to heaven with the other people?
Yes, I believe. In other words, during this age or during the millennial, during the tribulation?
During the millennial.
Well, I suppose they would. I suppose they would. If they're saved and born again, they've got their new bodies, and they would. I'm not sure. As long as they're in this body, they'd be living just like we're saved here. I suppose they'd live for 1,000 years, whatever. But when they actually die, they go home to be with the Lord, and then maybe come back and
die just like we did.
Just like we do, yes. They'd be dying, living longer, as Brother Quarles mentioned. Child 100, that means that maybe 1,000 for 10 years now as a child, times 10. So yes, Anna. No, but some things are revealed to us, and so that's what we're talking about. Yeah, Brother Quarles had something too.
Deuteronomy 29:29.
Yes, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. That's right, 29:29 of Deuteronomy. It's a good verse. That's why I'm against the secret codes, because it's against Deuteronomy 29. The secret things belong to the Lord. You can't take these little Hebrew letters and get them all in describe and predict what's going to happen on the earth. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed to us and to our children forever, that we may observe the things of the Lord. Yes, Bonnie?
Well, when, that's God, when a person is babies and come here, years old, how will other people know that it's
1,000, probably. Some of them. Yeah.
When they die, Christians, they'll be buried.
Well, there's three phases, Dan.
It's possible that some of these millennial saints won't die. It's possible.
It's possible.
Some of them
may live.
Some of them will die because it says a child shall die at the age of 100. Right? The scripture says that some of them
Isaiah.
Will die. Mm-hmm. But I think the majority of them perhaps will live through the entirety of the millennial kingdom.
Oh, that's good.
That's true. Of the believers. I mean, mm-hmm. Not everyone in the millennial kingdom will be a believer. At the beginning of it, I think scripture will indicate that they are, but in after the beginning of it, once you have a second generation coming out on the scene, then that generation has to make a decision themselves. Do they want to accept or reject the Messiah?
And some will reject, And at the end of the millennial reign, when Satan gathers all the big fight, they'll join them.
The
yes, good
right.
Brother.
Because at the,
what is
the beginning of the millennial, those who befriended the Jews that God allows to go into the millennium, they reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
And how many generations? And in Revelation 20, it's great white throne judgment. Sick, well, after Satan's released. John writes, they're like the sand of the sea who rebel against God, the nations follow Satan. And then God puts down that rebellion. But those who have befriended the Jew, God allows them to go into millennium. So, and they reproduce, and they still have the Adamic nature. And then they reproduce. I mean, so that's what the sinners, and then they rebel.
When Satan is loose, yeah. When Satan
Christ is a dictator during the millennium.
Yep. Beneficent dictator. In Isaiah 65 and verse 20, which speaks of the millennium, then shall be no more thence the infant of days for an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So that's Isaiah 65 and verse 20. And then it says also in that same section, in verse 25 of Isaiah 65, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall the serpents meet, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. So this is some of the things that are happening in the millennial kingdom of our Lord.
And then also in Isaiah 11, 1-8, he repeats the same, except it's expanded.
Uh-huh.
This is verse 25. Isaiah 11, 1, he talks about the millennial.
Yes.
Reign of Christ and the change in the animals and nature.
And also in Isaiah, I can't get the verse right now, but his days, yes, in verse 22, Isaiah 65, 22, they shall not build and another inherit, they shall not plant and another eat, whereas the days of a tree are the days of my people. The days of a tree, that's another analogy. The sequoias, the old trees, sometimes 1,000 years these trees live. See, so that's another thing. The child will be dying 100, the days of three. And Anna?
And some trees are thought to be even more than 1,000 years.
Yes, that's right. So this is, right, so generation to generation they'll live there, and I will cleanse their blood, in verse 21, that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. All right, do you have any comments or questions on Joel before we move on to Amos? All right, yes, Brother Quarles.
I had a book. I had a picture of the Megiddo. You were talking about last week?
Yeah, Megiddo, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Armageddon. Okay, tell us about it.
Well,
Bill, want to come in on this book?
I'm just...
Show Bill.
Yeah, okay.
Put it above your head so he can see it. Turn right around. That's right. Yes, sir, turn right around and show it to him. Tell us. You're not coming on the right camera, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's right. Okay, tell us about it, Brother Quarles.
Yes, well, this dovetailed behind what you were saying. I went back and did some reading. I remember I had this book, Lord, Worth of Remembrance.
Uh-huh.
You talked about the plane.
Well, Israelin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, this picture would give us a visual picture of that area.
Good. That's good. Take a look at it back there. Any other comments? Yes, Anna?
Well, my geography book said that the rumors were talking about the Queen of Megiddo. When Napoleon saw the field, the Queen of Megiddo, or the Queen of Israel, he said that was the perfect place. Perfect battlefield, or something like that.
That's interesting. Perfect battlefield. That's exactly the battlefield. Armageddon. Battle of Armageddon. There you are, Bill. You come right in there.
Oh, it's that long time.
Yeah, that's good.
See cattle grazing.
Cattle are grazing there. All right. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Tell us you're listening. Have any comments or questions on Joel? Any other comments on Joel before we move on? All right, if there's not, let's move on then to the book of Amos. Amos was to the 10 tribes of Israel. The book of Amos. And Let's begin by reading Amos 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Amos 1, 1, 2, and 3. Starting with verse 1 together. The words of Amos was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with the threshing instrument of iron." All right, verse number 1. As we said, this is a prophet to the 10 tribes, the northern 10 tribe kingdom. And the date is about 787 B.C. And they went into captivity shortly thereafter. He's one of the prophets before they went into captivity, the 10 tribes. What was the occupation of Amos in addition to being a prophet in verse 1? First, what is a herdsman? It's a shepherd, one that herds sheep and maybe cattle, Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel. See, there's the 10 tribes. When was the book, what character, what historical event, what took place during his writing?
No, it's 2 years
before the earthquake. What kings were reigning?
Uzziah, southern kingdom.
Uzziah in the south.
And Jeroboam the son.
Jeroboam the second. All right, the son. All right. And that's found in 2 Kings 15, if you want to look at your book. 2 Kings chapter 15. You have the reign, chapter 14, the reign of Jeroboam the second, verse 23. And chapter 15 of 2 Kings, first part, the reign of Uzziah or Azariah. And remember, Uzziah is mentioned in Isaiah
6.
Remember what it says in Isaiah 6?
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw
the Lord
high and lifted up. That's it, Isaiah 6. So this was the time frame where Amos was the prophet and preached. Now, if you notice in chapter 15 of 2 Kings, not very much longer, and they're going to go into captivity, the northern kingdom. Won't take too many more kings. And then the northern kingdom will go into what captivity will the northern kingdom go into?
Assyria.
Okay, Assyria, which is this green thing right up here. Assyria, that's the kingdom. Assyrian captivity in about 700 or 600 A.D. B.C. 721. What was that? 721. Then the southern kingdom about 600 roughly B.C. About 100 years later comes in. So this is about 787. If they go into 700, well, that's shortly thereafter, about 87 more years, they're going into captivity. So that's the background. The earthquake, apparently the earthquake happened. I don't know of any other reference to that in Scripture.
I think there is. In Zechariah or something. It's.
I don't think it's in 2 Kings or historical books, but it may be in the prophetic book. If you think it is, Anna?
I found it.
Right, what is it?
Zechariah 14, verse 5. This is, I'll start in verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with me.
Yeah, there's a reverence. That's good, Anna. In the days of Uzziah, King of Judah. And that would be in 2 Kings 15. That's when Azariah or Uzziah reigned, 16 years. I don't know what's mentioned in the historical books, but certainly isn't that prophetic book at that point.
It'll be fulfilled in Revelation 19:1. Christ is coming back to reign.
That's right. That'll be the millennial, the future. But this is as it was in the days of Uzziah. That's looking back, but this will be the future. That's right. All right, so the Verse number 2, the Lord shall roar from Zion, and utter his voice, shepherds shall mourn. In other words, God's going to come to judge. He's going to come to judge. In verse 3, who's the first one he's going to be judging here, as he mentioned?
Damascus.
Damascus. And that's the capital of what nation?
Syria.
All right, the capital of Syria. Try to have north of Jerusalem. Here's Damascus, right here. Here's Syria. Now, notice for 3 transgressions per 4, we'll find in total there are 8 different nations that he's going to be judging. For 3 transgressions or 4, I'm going to go with the Damascus. And he's going to go with another one, see? Gaza. And another one's Tyre. 8 different ones. Pretty soon it gets down to Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. He's going to judge them. So he's going little by little for different nations. He's going to judge. He's going to send the fire in verse number 4. Let's read 4, 5, and 6 together. And I will send a fire into the house of Haziel, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break down the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. The people of Syria shall go into captivity, into Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. All right, so this is the second for 3 transgressions of 4. So verse 3 is Damascus, verse 6 is Gaza, and if you go down there to verse number 9, what country does he say he's going to judge there? Tyrus. So he starts, notice the chronology, the geography of it. Damascus is in the north, he's going to go to Gaza, which is down here in the south, he's going to Tyre, or Tyrus is here, see, right? The nations surrounding Israel, that's the third. The fourth is in verse 11. What's that one?
Edom,
that's down south. See, here's south. Edom is down the south of the Dead Sea. And then what is the fifth one? Verse 13.
Ammon.
Ammon is over here to the east.
That's part of Jordan.
Part of Jordan. Ammon, Jordan. That's right. We were in Ammon when we went over to Israel. That's to Ammon. And then if you look at the chapter 2, the first verse, what's the next one he's going to judge? What's the next one? Chapter 2, verse 1.
Moab.
See, that's for the east. See, here, east of Jordan here. And then number 4 is, no, number 4 is verse 11. Well, we got 4 already. Okay. Number 5 is verse 13. Who's that?
Ammon.
Ammon. So Ammon, the Ammonites... Ammon's over here, yeah, Ammon. Edom, Ammon, and then chapter 2, verse 1, the sixth one is what? Moab. Moab is right close by here. Let's see, where's Moab? Here's Moab right here. Well, just a little bit to the right.
That's
Jerusalem. Then the verse 4, who's verse 4, the seventh one?
True,
that's to the south. And verse number 6, the 8th and final one is what?
Israel.
What is God telling Israel? And as Amos goes through the city to city to city to city, what is he doing? Why does he end up with Israel and Judah?
Well, more light that they've been exposed to.
All right. Anna?
Responsible.
That's why,
that's right. See, he starts off the others and his own people that he loved and he wanted to have as the beginning of the Messiah. He wasn't going to leave them out. He went all around, see, all the north, south, east, west. Finally, it's going to come to you because of their sin. And God will judge. He's honestly and he's righteous in his judgment. Your brother?
Peter picks that up. He says, if the he talks about the lost getting it, that they do not get in heaven. But he says, for the believer, if we just barely get in, what about the lost?
That's right. What about the unsaved and so on? Let's stop right
now,
here.
Judgment begins in the house
of God. What will the ungodly do? That's right. Let's stop right here. If you have any other comments, question. Amos has got a lot of different things, but these first two chapters are just the sweep of the thing to show the judgment coming to all these other nations and right to his own people. Do you have any other comments or questions, though, before we close time? Well, it's been a different night as far as the power is concerned and the rain. Glad that you're here. Glad that some of the folks out there were able to hear also because of Dan's ability, scrambling around and taking care of. Let's close in a word of prayer. Brother Quarles, would you close in a word of prayer if you would, please, sir?
Father God, as we come, we thank you once again for the study of thy word that we learn about you, all that you're doing as we study through the prophets of Joel and Amos. And one day it comes out, as Pastor ended, that God does judge and God remembers. We thank you, Lord, he doesn't remember our sins once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you especially, Brother Dan, lift his name up as he came in and just began to put the lights together, the generator. And so we just thank you for him. Thank you for everything, Sister. Wait and praying those who came back and persevered. And we just thank you for blessing this service tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.